Before we begin the radio program, permit me to share with you a quote from one Phil Johnson of Grace to You, who told me years ago, God's people are very generous. And wow, have I found that to be true so many times I have lost count. God's people are so generous, and you have been so kind to us. And I'm pausing the program just for a moment to ask you to please consider being kind to us again, because we can't do anything that we do at Fortis Institute without our gospel partners. That's how we see the people who support us financially. We can't go down in the well unless you hold the rope. So if you have the ability once again to hold the rope, or if you have never been a gospel partner and supported us, we've got a matching gift campaign. You can double your impact. This is such a crucial time of year. So if you would be so kind, please visit fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh.
Are you okay?
No, I can't shake this schmutz. It just... So Jason, the fellow who leads the Fortis Institute fellows, he said, did you just get off a respirator? No, I need to still be on it because I me talking like Barry White.
Did you look it up on WebMD? What kind of cancer is it?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a tumor, but I know this. When I talk lower, that means I'm more manly. And you say, well, no, it doesn't. It just means you're talking lower, which is a male attribute, but that doesn't make you more of a man. B-I-N-G-O. Would like to encourage you, consider Dr. Adam Tyson's podcast to help you become a man. And hey, if you missed it last night, the webinar that was done by Tim Challies on grieving, go find it, watch it. You'll be blessed. This was an article that he wrote. Tim is just a super fine writer. He was talking about the phenomenon that we all experience when you see somebody after there's been an absence for a season and you can't help it. Huh, they've got more gray hair. They're saggier. Ooh, they look, you know, how they age. And typically, it's not getting better because you tend to just look older and saggier. That's the way gravity works, and that's the way that God has orchestrated it, so you don't cling to this youthful life, and you increasingly long for heaven. And so, Tim, in conclusion to that observation of all of us, writes this, we all eventually realize Ecclesiastes 12 is not just the preacher's biography, it's ours as well. Vanity, vanity. We're going to die. You're going to get old, going to get decrepit. It is going to happen. It just is. And I think that we do well to remember that it awaits all of us, but there's something more that awaits us. And that is the other side of the veil from Tim Challies. What a joy it is then to consider that when our time here has come to an end and we go to be with the Lord, we will see our loved ones not as they were, but as they are. And as they forever will be, despite a gap in time that maybe decades, they will have improved instead of declined. The weight of cares will have been lifted from their shoulders. The hollow-eyed sorrow of loss will have been removed from their countenance. The one who limped will now stride with confidence. The one whose vision had failed will now look you straight in the eye. The one who could not hear will now listen gladly and attentively. Weakness of mind will have given away to strength. Frailty of body will have been replaced by fortitude. All will be well. All will be better than we have ever known or even imagined. What a glorious day. You can check out the Tim Challies Fortis Institute webinar at fortisinstitute.org and then get busy sending stuff, whatever it is that's wretched, idea@wretched.org, or text away, will ya?
1-7-7-2-8-2-B-1-8-7-7-2-8-2-B.
It's the number of the texter machine. You got a question, comment, conundrum, snark, 877-282-2337.
So we're going to start with a text from Anonymous and kind of stay in that same realm.
Of anonymity?
No, of grief. And they ask, Todd, as a Christian, how should I deal with suicidal thoughts? How do I find motivation to live?
Well, here, number one, first of all, keep doing what you just did. Let your loved ones know. Look, I know that it feels like you should do the opposite. Keep it a secret. You don't want to be a burden. I can absolutely promise you that should you go about the business of trying to harm yourself, whether you are successful or not, you will have devastated your family because you didn't disclose your struggles. They want to know. So share it with people. When whatever you do, do not harm yourself. Put things in place so that you do not have the opportunity to go about the business of listening to lies, because that's what's going on in your brain. That's good news, by the way. If you're thinking about taking your own life, I can assure you it is because your lies are ruling over truth. It's telling you that's the better alternative. It's telling you there is no hope. It's telling you there is no future. Now, I can think of Bible verses that would say just the opposite, which is what I would encourage you to do. If you want to turn that corner, you need to rehearse truth. You need to memorize Bible verses and apply them. When those dark thoughts arise, shine light on them. And they will just evaporate. Is that what light does? Dissipate? Skedaddle. The dark thoughts will just go away because you are speaking truth to lies. Keep doing what you're doing, reading your Bible, going to church, Bible studies, taking communion, praying. Those are the things that will feed your soul. Notice the triggers in your life. I know that word is overused these days, but we'll work with the vernacular of the mental health industrial complex. What sets you off? Note it. The next time you start to go, uh-oh, here comes the black dog. It's going to just jump all over me and howl right in my face. What's causing it? Write it down. Look for patterns so that you can do practical things like avoiding those things or just having a plan in place so that when this, then that, so that you don't let them trigger you. And more than anything else, I would encourage you, your focus you've got to change the direction of your view. You're looking at yourself too much. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your skills, your looks, your money, your position, your intellect, your sanctification, your ability to get married, your ability to have kids. You got to stop looking at yourself and you got to start looking at Jesus. Turn your gaze outward. And as you increasingly stare at his face, your thoughts about self, they're just going to go to the background and they're going to find their proper place. And as you study Jesus, you are going to be burying truth in your heart, which will inevitably overrule and win out over the lies. And should you ever feel like you want to do that, I beg you, I implore you, call somebody immediately. Don't think, this could pass. Call somebody. And if you're thinking, nobody cares if I die, well, guess what? That would be another lie. And you say, well, you don't know my family. Yes, I do, actually. I know your family very, very well, because you're thinking about your biological family, and that could be a, it could be a complete shipwreck. I grant you that. But your church family cares. Your Christian family, I care. Jimmy cares. We don't want you to die. Don't believe lies. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that sensitive subject?
Yeah, it is really, really sensitive. And I think it thinking about the question, how do I find the motivation to live? Just remember that you were created in God's image and you do have a purpose, whether you realize that or not.
And this issue alone could be what God is using so that you can minister to others. Now, there's purpose. That you could help other people, that you could be the one that somebody says someday, you know, I was going through such a blue season and she came alongside of me. Oh, it was just amazing. The Lord does have work for you to do. There is no question about it. How do I know? Because you're here. And the Lord has prepared works for us to step into. And if you're thinking about ending your life, you're not going to step into those works. It's very displeasing to the Lord. Furthermore, it has to be noted, it can be a sign that you're not a regenerated person. Don't give your church family reason to doubt your eternity. Let the Lord determine the last breath. That's His territory. That's His job, not yours. Don't be presumptuous. Don't play God. Trust Him and trust that He has works for you to do, and they're not inconsequential. I would go back to Ecclesiastes 12. Tim was probably referring to the descriptor of the old man whose body falls apart. So enjoy your youth while you're young. But I would take you to the end. What's the point of life? That you do things for the Lord. That you are on assignment from Him. This is true for all of us. I know it's trite by comparison, but I always think about it like a Mission Impossible or, you know, one of these movies where the guy gets sent because there's something that has to be done. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen. That's you. It's you. And it's not a tape machine or it's not a letter or it's not some mysterious call from Washington. It's God Himself who has you on assignment. He has works for you to do. Don't take your life. Step into them. This is Wretched Radio.
You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we shared the gospel and equipped students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match, up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make Him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God. And through him, we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, what you doing March 21 and 22? This is Wretched Radio. If you happen to be anywhere near Alpharetta, Georgia, Friday night, Saturday morning, 10 lectures from Fortis fellow Dr. Jason Lyle, The Ultimate Proof of Creation. It is free. Enjoy the lectures. Enjoy the gummy bears that we're going to...
Gummy bears?
That's...
I'm coming for those.
That's good. I was actually given this. This is just going to mean absolutely nothing to you. Friel, that's never stopped you before. So some dear friends of ours from church, he's actually a deacon. They were going back to their hometown of Denver. And as they were leaving, I said, look out for the gummies because, you know, you can get stoned with the gummies, right? So on Sunday morning at Bible study, I'm sitting there and Steve walks by and drops a bag right in front of me. Mile High Gummies.
Oh.
No, they don't have the stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
They're just Denver, Mile High City. Look at where your mind goes. Like the deacon bought pot gummies to give. No, they were very fresh, if you don't mind me saying so. So let's hope that the gummies will be fresh with Dr. Jason Lyle as he presents the ultimate proof of creation. You can register free for either Friday night, Saturday morning, or both sessions at fortisinstitute.org/creation. fortisinstitute.org/creation. Then, as long as you're registering, when you're done with that, send stuff, wretched stuff, to idea@wretched.org.
It's going
to
be a big bang. All right. This is from Ashley, a text.
Right, you know what?
Just don't.
I just feel, you know what I feel? I feel like sorry, I'm a sail on an old ship and a pirate got thrown from the crow's nest and he used his knife and just slit down the sail and all the wind just went. That's what you did to me.
I'm so sorry.
You're a walking dad joke.
At least I didn't interrupt you and say it. All right. This is from Ashley, a text. Todd, why do men who want to become pastors go to college or seminary instead of apprenticing under a pastor?
That's kind of the way we do it. That's all. It's kind of an efficient way of doing it. But I don't think it's the only way. I think that discipleship, apprenticeship, whatever you want to call it, that's what Jesus did with the disciples. He was the seminary. But if you're going to do something like that, don't treat it the way too many people treat homeschool. Hey, I took the kids to Dairy Queen and I made them use money. So it was a lesson in economics. No, you went to Dairy Queen and you had the kid pay with a $5 bill. Can you get anything at Dairy Queen for $5 these days? At any rate, I wonder... I wouldn't know this, but what does Dairy Queen ice cream look like when it melts? I hope it doesn't look like a Chick-fil-A shake. Oh,
what is that?
Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's because you always finish them. But if you don't, I'm telling you, there are chemicals in there that I don't think should be inside of our bodies. That's all I'm saying. Don't treat this like homeschool. If you're going to raise up a young man inside of your church, make sure that it's as robust as Jesus' discipling of the 12. Make sure that it is constant, ongoing. Make sure, and by the way, put them to work. Remember, Jesus sent them out. It's like, okay, you've been with me long enough. Now you're going to go bring the message. You're going to go deliver the word. If you're going to have an in-house program, which I think is perfectly fine, totally acceptable. Just make sure that it's really, really strong. And don't let anybody look down upon you if that's the way you did it. We can all cite not just the disciples. Charles Spurgeon didn't go to a seminary, and yet he was, turns out, Charles Spurgeon. By the way, speaking of the disciples going to bring the word, the other night we watched, all of it. Mrs. Friel could only make it halfway through. She just quit on it. It was the Ben-Hur remake from, I think, 2015, 17, something like that. And I have to confess, I don't, all I know about the Ben-Hur movie is that the director of it, whose name is escaping me at the moment, Wallace, I believe is his name. He was an atheist, went about the business of proving that God and Jesus and the Bible all are just a big fallacy, ends up getting saved, makes Ben-Hur. I think that's the story. And I don't remember it very well. I kind of remember seeing it as a kid, and all you saw in that one was the back of Jesus. And I have to confess, I don't remember if they've deviated from the storyline, but the version I watched was a dog's breakfast. Honestly, how did nobody on the set have a Bible? It turned out that the whole thing was basically a story about two brothers, one an adopted Roman, one a Jewish prince, Judah Ben-Hur. And along the way, the guy bumps into Jesus. And the next thing you know, without any explanation, he's falling down on his face at the crucifixion. And then he has to be reconciled to his brother because, as Jesus said in Ben-Hur, the movie, our innate nature is love. And our innate nature is totally depraved. It was not biblical at all. It's like, how could you miss this? They showed the crucifixion. They showed Jesus walking through the streets, and it was about loving your brother who wanted to kill you? That's what it was all about? Talk about a lesson and missing the point. 877-282-2337 if you want to text questions, comments, conundrums, or movie reviews.
All right, let's stay with homeschool.
You ever watch that movie?
I have not.
I sent a text to Ray Comfort. And I said, I just watched this thing. It was awful. And he sent back a note. He goes, oh, it was just absolutely dreadful. The guy fell down on his face because he realized he hadn't been loving to his brother and he had to reconcile. Why? Honestly, I'm trying to think of an illustration that would seem like shed light on it. But a lesser light can't shine light on a big gaffe like that. Honestly. I'm done.
Okay. All right. This is for Michael.
You want to talk about The Chosen?
Please not. Are you watching that? All
right. And The House of David, I got two episodes in. Couldn't do more than that. How's about this? This is when I went, wait a second. The opening scene, because the House of David, Amazon Prime thing, it's all about David being a great hero. Sorry, that's not the way the Bible presents David. It's not that he was heroic. It's that he was a man after God's own heart, Gladys. And this thing was just a total fabrication with so many additions. Like, he's running with his slingshot to take the shot at the giant. And the giant throws a javelin, which pins David to the ground. Go ahead, look for that verse. You're not going to find it. And yet, forever, everybody who watched that, oh, that was a close call. That was a raging battle. No, it wasn't. That's the whole point. It wasn't David and his five smooth stones. It was God. David was a story about Jesus. It's not a story about us defeating the giants and being engaged in battles with things that are difficult. It's about Jesus and the fabrication of David getting pinned by a spear. That was the beginning. I made it through two episodes, so I think there's seven, maybe. I think total. I guess
you got some catching up to do.
Well, their imaginations. They need to spend some time concocting lies about David, because that's what that is. It's lying about another human being. It's fabricating details that God didn't want us to know. If God wanted us to know that David got pinned by a javelin, it would have been in the Bible. If God wanted us to know that David's mother got eaten by a lion, it would have been in the Bible. But he didn't put it there because he knows what we need. And these stories that add to the Bible, I think, I'm not sure, but I think the end of Revelation has something to say about that. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Michael. Todd, I have a 10th grade girl who wants to do homeschooling next year. Do you know of any curriculum you would recommend?
No. Well, I know of curriculum, but I wouldn't recommend it because this is one of the joys of homeschooling. That's up to you, mom and dad, because there are different types of homeschool curriculum at different levels. You've got rainbow curriculum, you've got apologia, And it, and they have different strengths and weaknesses based on your kid, whether it's science, math, literature, et cetera. So what do I encourage you to do? Go to a homeschool convention. Personally, like, teach them diligently, but wherever there's a good homeschool convention near you, go and get ready to be stun gunned. You're going to walk on that floor and go, where do I begin? Just start walking the aisles. And you're going to see the bigger hitters. Doesn't mean you can't supplement with the smaller homeschool curriculum, but look for the big ones and shop the smaller ones too. Because you know your kid and you can put together an eclectic curriculum based on your child, which is what the academic system doesn't do. It just stuffs everybody into the same mold. And the kids who've got ants in their pants struggle with that. So we give them psychotropic medication. I'm digressing right now. You can make those decisions. And the best way to do that, go to a homeschool convention, go online and get involved in those chat rooms. And let people share with you the curriculum, their strengths and weaknesses, so that you can custom design your own child's education because you're the parent. This is Wretched Radio.